Hello, my name is Elijah David, Minister of the 12th Apostolic Sabbatarian Congregation of Mount Zion at the 12th Down in Liberty Hill, Texas. Today is August the 20th, 2017, or it's 8/29/2021. We will start our first service today with a song of the Father, The Beautiful Garden of Prayer. There's a garden where Yahshua is waiting. There's a place that is wondrously fair. Oh, it glows with the light of His presence. It's a beautiful garden of prayer. Oh, the beautiful garden, the garden of prayer. Oh, the beautiful garden of prayer. And the Savior awaits, and He opens the gate to the beautiful garden of prayer. There's a garden where Yahshua is waiting, and I go with my burden and care, just to learn from His lips words of comfort in a beautiful garden of prayer. In a beautiful garden, the garden of prayer. What a beautiful garden of prayer. And the Savior awaits, and He opens the gate to the beautiful garden of prayer. In the garden where Yahshua is waiting, and He bids you to come meet Him. Just to bow and receive all His blessings, the beautiful garden of prayer. Oh, the beautiful garden, the garden of prayer. Oh, the beautiful garden of prayer. And the Savior of grace, when He opens Part 1. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is come. Heaven and earth shall pass away. This is a tract by Verlis W. Johnson. And he had a bad habit of not putting dates on a lot of his stuff. I don't have an actual date on this. Actually, on the last page of this tract, page 10, Rollis W. Johnson gives the date. I'm going to read this, very important. On Sunday afternoon, June the 3rd, 1990, which was the Pentecost, I was going to the church to deliver the afternoon message, as it was in the Noah's day. While on my way, I was pondering the message that Yahweh had given me in February and March of this year, in which He said that my message and work was an antitype of Noah and Paul's message and work, and that I must go into all the world and preach the gospel. So I inquired, Lord, how can I do this great work? His answer was, recruit all the young men available and qualified for this work and set up a school of training. So if you have a burning desire to be a part of an evangelistic team that is proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, which brings the end of the world, Matthew 24:14, and you are spiritual minded and apt to teach, then please send me an application today. Then I asked the Lord, how can I support a program like this? His answer was, there are a lot of people in the church and in the world, talking about the Adventist church, with money, who would like to have a part in this phase of the work. Invite them to be a sponsor. So if you are one of those who Yahweh had in mind, and He has given you the power to get wealth, then you will want to share it with the gospel of the kingdom work. Please send your tax-deductible donation to Creation Channel, 450 North Oak, Kermit, Texas, 79745. Phone 915-586-2653. Let your conscience guide you as the Spirit impresses you to give. Yours is a servant of the Lord, Brother W. Johnson. But he never got one person to respond, and he never got one dime that came in. So what was wrong with that message? What was wrong with it? Number one, it was a false commission. That was Satan speaking to him. That wasn't Yahweh, because if that had been Yahweh speaking to him, then it would have all worked out. But see, I read it just like he wrote it, and I used that pagan title, Lord, that he used, to show you that because when he restored the daily and the sacred name, along with all the divine institutions, the holy feast days in 1970, 20 years earlier, he was given the sacred name Bible by my wife, Catherine. She gave me a Bible called Yahweh on it. And then Brother Johnson's wife, I think in the 90s, 20-some years later, she read something somewhere that impressed her that we should be using their sacred Bible. So she ordered a dozen of them, and she told people at Turn Events, we need these Bibles. So all of you, I've got Bibles now, so I give so much for them. I think it's $12 a piece or something like that, or $20 a piece. And so my wife bought one. And so, because she remembered what Brother said in 1970, that the sacred name was to be used now, it's time to use it. And then he refused to use it, then he rescinded it daily as the years went by, and so forth. Well, I have an awesome message for you here. I'm not even going to start to reading at the front of this tract yet. I'm going to tell you my message that I got from Yahweh this morning, which prompted this tract to be dug out and made the topic of my subject today. You remember I told you before about 1999 when David Johnson died, his number one son, I call him his fair-haired son, that was playing the antitypical role of Absalom and Achan, but mostly Absalom, because Wallace Johnson ended up being the Achan that stole the Yahweh's goods and gave it to his son. His son asked for the money, but he was in Brother Johnson's hands and power to not give it to him, but he did. So Brother Johnson ended up being the Achan. His son ended up being the Absalom, the rebellious son of David that tried to overthrow David and kill him, wanted to kill him, kill his own father. And so that's what David was there for, David Johnson, and that was his name too. His name is David, but Yahweh told me his real name was Absalom. Brother Johnson would have been more accurate to have named him Absalom. But anyway, Yahweh told me this morning, here on this date that we got today, he said that I have, he said, remember when Brother Johnson said in 1999 at the Solemn Assembly, said, remember when he said that Yahweh spoke to him? He said, a voice spoke to him, and it so alarmed him and told him to, this was on the next day on the Solemn Assembly, to lock the doors on at 9 o'clock at the third hour and the ninth hour, and sanctify the congregation. That was his exact word. And so he left his house and he came to my house. He drove to my house to tell me in person. He says, now be there in the morning and make sure you're there before 9 o'clock. Because he says, the doors are going to be locked at 9 and 3. At 9 o'clock in the morning, which was the third hour of the day. And so, he says, and I'll call everybody. Anyway, brother drove to my house and he said, now, I'm going to call everybody else in the church. I'm going to call my son Daniel and my grandson Rodney. They live in Odessa. I said, and I'm going to call everybody. But I had to come and tell you in person first. So I told my wife, and so the next morning on the Solemn Assembly, my wife and I got dressed, and she said, well, we're going to get over at 10 minutes till 9, and we're going to make sure that we're in there on time. We're not going to get locked out. Well, he said he's going to lock the doors to sanctify the congregation. That's what the Solemn Assembly is for every year. That's the atonement. People's got to send blood out the atonement. Then he said they're to be sanctified 12 days later at the Solemn Assembly. So, let's see, 12 days later, now it'd be, anyway, it would be the last day of the Feast of Tabernacles. Now the Feast of Tabernacles come on, it'll be 12 days after the Atonement. And so, the next morning, Brother Johnson standing in the pulpit, and incidentally, another a meaning for pulpit, it means to pull the pulpit down on top of you into the pit. So we really should use a sacred desk or lectern. So anyway, Brother Johnson was standing in the sacred desk the next morning at 9 o'clock. My wife and I were there, and his wife was there, and maybe one or two others. But Amy and Ellen weren't there. Amy was there. Because Brother had called her and told Amy, but Amy didn't tell Ellen. And so Ellen always walked to church, and Amy, his wife, always drove to church. So she was there on time. But Ellen, he walking to church, he didn't know, but he came in about 10 or 12 minutes after 9. But the doors were still open. They weren't locked. So Ellen never thought nothing about it. But Ellen had a pass key in case the door was ever locked and he had to go to the church to get something that he had forgotten or had to go back to church. He had a pass key to the church. He had more than I had. And so, Brother said, well, he waited till about 20 minutes after 9, and I said, Brother, aren't you going to get started? He said, I'm waiting for Daniel. I said, I'm sure he's on his way. He's waiting for his son. And Amy stood up and she said, Rovis, they called me and told me that they weren't coming. old brother says, is that right? And so Daniel didn't have the audacity to call his brothers and tell his dad, I'm not coming. And so he called Amy. Amy didn't even tell Alan. That's how come Alan wasn't there at nine. So anyway, Brother Johnson said, well, let's go on then. Let's go on with it. So he went back and locked the door. Now we had another man, a man that I brought into the church, Randy Hartwright, and he had come back and rejoined us. And he had a motor home and he had a second wife. He left us for about 15 years and went wandering off out in the wild blue yonder, Randy Hartwright, and then he divorced his wife and then he picked up a second woman. And then he come back home to Kermit and had a motor home. And him and his second wife, which was a Spanish woman, and second marriage, and he's married to somebody of another nationality, so that put him out of running. But he, the brothers let him rejoin the church, and this man, he was a singer. He was a great singer. He led our song services. I was a song leader, but I'd let him lead it for me, because he could sing better than I could. And so, he got it in his mind one day that Willis was teaching false doctrine. So he wrote a little piece of paper showing where Brother Johnson was teaching the Bible wrong. And he come to me and wanted me to see what I thought about it. And I said, well, this may be true, but it's not your place to try to bring him down. And I said, I know Brother Johnson's preordained, and he has a time period until his time is up. And I said, I join him to support him no matter what takes place, no matter who comes against him. I will always stand behind him and support him. So, Randy Hartwright then, come the day of the solemn assembly, he didn't show up at 9 o'clock either because nobody called him and told him. And him and his wife didn't come to the 9 o'clock anyway in the morning, usually. They came for the afternoon at 3 o'clock. So anyway, Randy Hartwright, Brother Johnson, Randy Hartwright didn't show up at 9 o'clock either, him and his wife. Now keep in mind that I had told his wife when she wouldn't put on the head covering at the atonement 12 days earlier, I told her, I said, well, Brother Johnson should have run you out of the church, but he let you stay through the atonement. After you rebuild and you wouldn't, he ordered you to put your head covering on and you wouldn't do it. And he lets you stay in anyway. And you defied him and you sit right there. I said, for that reason, I said, you will not be there for the sanctification of the congregation 12 days hence at the solemn assembly. And she said to me defiantly, what are you going to do, beat me up? And I said, no. I said, but you know, I said, I have spoken. And I said, it will happen. You will not be there. And so, she hates me to this day because she showed up on the solemn assembly with her husband at 3 p.m. in the second hour, the second sacred hour of the day. Not at the early, but her husband came in. They came in about 3:25, 3:30. And Brother Johnson hadn't locked the door yet because he was still waiting for, I think, his grandson to make it, Rodney. Daniel had made it because Amy called him and told him he better get over here at the 3 o'clock because something was going on. He needed to be here. But Daniel didn't bother to call his son Rodney that lived right there in Odessa with him. He didn't bother to tell him, well, we better get over there. He just left his son behind. And so, or he might have told his son, and his son, I think Daniel did tell his son. Well, we're going over the three, and so Rodney and his wife come down the road by themselves later after his father Daniel had gotten there. And so Rodas, when Daniel got in, Rodas was still leaving the door open waiting for Rodney. Meanwhile, he wanted Rodney to hurry up and get there because Randy Hartwright and his wife hadn't made it yet. Because he wanted to lock the doors and lock Randy out, but he wanted everybody else to be in there. So, Brother W. Johnson looked out there, and somebody looked out the door, and they said, oh, Randy Hartwright just drove up. And they said, oh, well, Rodney's not here yet, though. I want Rodney in here, but I don't want Randy in here. So, Brother, I said, somebody said something. Brothers, you better go lock that door if you don't want Randy in here. So Brothers went back to reluctantly lock the door. And within a couple of minutes, here comes Randy Hartwright and his wife. And the door was locked, and he knocked on the door. And Brothers stood inside the door. He wouldn't open the door. He only talked to Randy through the door. He wouldn't even open the door and talk to him. And he told him the reason why he couldn't worship with us no more, because he was in rebellion trying to overthrow him. So meanwhile, Randy and his wife, they said, okay, so they went and got in their car and they left. And they left us forever. Randy Hartwright is, I talked to him this 6 months ago. First time I talked to him since he left that day. And he was very upset with me because I didn't defend him. Or that I was supposed to be his best friend. So anyway, he's very upset with us to this very day. So anyway, after Randy Hartwright and his wife left, fulfilling the prophecy that I said that they would not be there for the Solemn Assembly, and they were defying me, and they defying Brother Johnson and everybody else over this here doctrine of the atonement, and so wearing the headscarf doctrine. His wife said, well, my head covering, she had beautiful long black hair. She said, my hair is my covering. And she said, ain't nobody going to tell me that I have to cover up my beautiful hair in the church. I said, well, no, 1 Corinthians chapter 11 says you're supposed to. No, I don't read that way. It don't read that way. You're just reading it wrong. So anyway, that was her take on it. And so anyway, they got locked out, and then Brother Johnson, all of a sudden, he went into a sermon. He went into a sermon about an old man, about 15 minutes till the next hour. 15 minutes to 4, I believe. About 15 minutes to 4, Brother Johnson finally got into the sermon. But there was a big wind, dust storm came up. A howling gale wind just came up out of nowhere. It was blowing so hard. And all of a sudden, the grandson, Rodney, showed up. During this terrible storm. And he come banging on the door and says, Grandpa, Grandpa, let us in. Grandpa, let us in. Let us in. But Verlis never heard him. Well, there is a back door to our church, and Rodney never thought about the back door. And it's a metal door. He could have come and hammered on it, and Verlis might have heard him. And he said, oh, Rod, and so Rodney went back home. Odessa, 45 miles away. So when the service was over, he called Dad. He called his grandpa. He said, Grandpa, I felt like Noah's Ark. I felt like that I was outside the Ark and the flood of Noah. And so, we have an experience here, reviewing all of that information in our minds today, and me, I did. My wife and I had a talk this morning for our worship in the morning. We talked about it at the table, and we talked about some things that developed since we've been down here, and it had to do with the subject of Noah's Ark. Ended up being with the subject of Noah's Ark, and so he already told me, says, go get tract that wrote us wrote on as it was in the days of Noah. And so, because of what has happened since we've been down here in Austin, Alan DeLong has got up and left us. And he left us about 3 years ago. And he's got this woman we told you about. She's of another race of people. She's a Mexican, Spanish, you know. And anyway, they had this woman ended up living with them down there that came in and joined them. And this woman, they already delivered her out of Alan's place because his wife is a demon. She's a devil. And this woman became so afraid of her, she was just terrified of this woman, of Sharon. This woman's named Pat. And she's so terrified of her. Oh, man, she says, she is a devil. She is a devil. Well, Yahweh delivered Pat out of that place down there, Alan's place. And that woman has made her way to our house. And she comes here now on the Sabbath when she's in town. And she worships with us. And so she told us all these things that was going on down at Alan's place. Just this past Sabbath. And the evil things that this here Sharon is doing. And said Alan is very unhappy. So anyway, with that information in mind, Yahweh impressed me this morning about the 9 o'clock and the 3 o'clock. And he said, the third hour, 3 o'clock, the third hour of the day, and the 9 o'clock, the ninth hour in the afternoon. He said, he reminded me, just out of the clear blue sky, I was laying in the bed, he said, I told Willis W. Johnson in 1999 to lock the doors and sanctify the congregation. And he says that Willis Johnson disobeyed. He didn't do it. And I said, yes, and I went and told him that all of those that weren't in behind the door at 9 o'clock that morning was cut off. I said, your son wasn't there and your grandson wasn't there. He said, well, Alan wasn't either. I said, well, Alan would have been there if you had called him and told him. Well, I called his wife. I said, that's not Alan. You know his wife wouldn't give him no message from you. And I said, so his wife, well, she drove herself there, and she is there at 9 o'clock. But Alan walked to church. He always liked to walk for the exercise. And he got there about 10 or 12 minutes after 9. The door wasn't locked, but he came on in. So I said, technically, I said, Alan would have been there. So the Holy Spirit told me he was not cut off, but your son Daniel was cut off. And your son Rodney, your grandson Rodney was cut off. And I said, just like Randy Hartwright was cut off, and Susie. Just like others were cut off. Just like Rodney was cut off at 3 o'clock. He had two chances that day, the 9 o'clock and the 3 o'clock. He had two chances. And him and his father made an attempt for the second hour, but anyway, one made it and the other didn't, but they both didn't make it on time, either one of them. So one day after Brother Johnson's son died, 1999, July the 27th, Yahweh had already gotten rid of David Johnson before the atonement or the Solemn Assembly. And he put his son David in business in Midland, and when his son died, Willis asked me to go down there with him and close that place down. It took us 3 weeks to close it down. And one day we were driving to work, and Willis Johnson pulled up in the front of that business there in Midland, Odessa, Midland. And he come up to the gate, and I started to get out in his own way. He said, don't bother the gate right now. So let's sit and talk a little bit. And I said, okay. Now, keep in mind, he's grappling over his son's death, David, that had just died July the 27th that year, 1999. And I told him that David was antitypical Absalom and Achan, that he had stolen Yahweh's money, and that he had coveted to overthrow his father's brothers, and that he played those terrible roles, and brothers didn't believe it. He never accepted that, but he asked me, he said, do you think Daniel, my son, still cut off? You said he was cut off because he wasn't there on time. I said, absolutely. He certainly was cut off. Well, how do you account for he still comes to church and he still stands up there on the rostrum with me? And I said, well, that's because you haven't set him down. That's because you haven't done your job. He said, well, Roger still comes. That's because you haven't told him that they were cut off. He said, well, I don't feel that way. I don't feel like they were cut off. I said, well, technically, you were cut off, too, for not obeying the command to lock the doors at 9 and 3. And, boy, that upset him. He said, well, let's go to work. Oh, boy, he got upset. He's ready to go to work now. So he didn't get no satisfaction from me, because I told him that Alan was not cut off. Well, when Alan came with us and chose us over Brutus, and he helped us financially to move down here and get set up here in Austin, proves that Alan was not cut off, just like I told Brutus. Proves that he wasn't cut off. But Amy, his wife that was there before the 9 o'clock hour, she was she thought she wasn't cut off, but she was cut off because of her conspiracy, dishonesty. So, all this information came out today, and Yahweh told me to perfect this ordained system to worship at the 9 o'clock and the 3 o'clock. And that's, we're at the 3 o'clock, the second, which is the ninth hour of the day. That's what we're at now. That's what this study is being conducted in, at the ninth hour. And so, starting in the morning, on what's the date? August. August is 21st. We will put more effort into perfecting right on time the day at the third hour of the day and the ninth hour. And August says, by doing this, because see, when I gave Brother Johnson his message, July the 14th, 2002, I gave him everything that heaven told me, but I forgot one thing. And so we got a few more miles down the road, and I said, oh, brother, I'd be remiss in my duty if I didn't tell you everything. I said, I forgot this one. Heaven told me to tell you to restore the daily at the nine in the tree. Oh, he got chafed over that. And I said, well, you restored it in 1983. I said, you restored it in 1970. Then you restored it, you rescinded it. But I said, you had a lady come with some of her sons, and she said she believed in the ordained system of true worship, but she would not join you unless you restored the daily. And so you want her to join you, so you made a proclamation to everybody that we're restoring the daily. We're going to have to keep the 9 and 3 faithfully. That was in 1983. And so I remind him of that. But that chafed him even more. Finally, before we got home, though, to our destination, I was driving his car. Brother Johnson had a broken hip. He was on a cane. He couldn't drive. His wife was in the back seat. I drove him home, and before we got there, he says, we next do the daily when we get into the line. We don't do it here. It's too inconvenient. Well, B.T. Hodges told the Adventists in the 30s, he said, we'll next keep our feast when we get into the land. It's too inconvenient here in the wilderness. It will be convenient in the land when we're free from all of our enemies and we've got Yahweh's government restored, and then we can freely give without any problem. Well, anyway, so V.T. Hodges said, we'll next keep the feast when we get into the land. Brother said, we'll next keep the daily when we get into the land. The brothers had restored the feast. So all of a sudden now he's separating the daily from the feast days. And so that's what prompted this study today, as it was in the days of Noah, because of what's developed with Alan and Sharon now, where we're at with Alan and Sharon. We're still not through with them yet, I guess. Well, since we got this lady that was at their place, she was out there about 17 months, and she was a captive. She was a captive out there, and we didn't know that. But they had her scared to even do anything. So anyway, as it was in the days of Noah, Brother W. Johnson. This track was written in 1990, as I said, and it says on June the 3rd, says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Matthew 24:35. So I'm not going to comment much on his tract as much as I'm going to just read it straight out. You can understand the clarity of it now after I've told you what I've told you. Matthew 24:45. As it were, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away, Matthew 24:35. For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly shall be stubble, and the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Yahshua of the host, that it shall leave them neither a root nor a branch. Malachi 4:1. For I am the Yahweh, I change not, therefore you sons of Jacob are not consumed. Malachi 3:6. But the day of the Yahshua will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with the fervent heat, the earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burned up. 2 Peter 3:10. And you shall tread down the wicked, the violators of the law of Moses, Nahum 1:15. For they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet, and the day that I shall do this, saith the Yahshua of the host, Malachi 4:3. For the Yahweh spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into the chains of darkness to be reserved unto the judgment, and spared not the old world, to save no other eighth person, a preacher of the righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the unrighteous, 2 Peter 2, 4 and 5. Now, when that word eighth person, Noah the eighth person, it just so happens that I was the eighth person born in my family, and I was the one that succeeded Brother Johnson, the author of this tract here. These facts make it crystal clear that there is a set time before us when this heaven and this earth shall pass away. There shall be a day when it shall burn as an oven, a day in which all that are proud and all that do wickedly shall be consumed with the fire. For the elements shall melt with the fervent heat, the earth also, and the works that are therein. But the righteous will be saved, and they shall tread down the wicked. For the wicked shall be ashes under the soles of their feet. This brings us unto the end of this world and sin. But what about where we are now? And how do we get unto the last event from here? It is very simple, for it is laid out in the Holy Writ. To find out, let us go back to the beginning of this tract. For Matthew has some very important information that will help us advance with our subject. But of that day and hour knoweth no man. No, not the angels of heaven. But my Father only, Matthew 24:36. We must realize that only Yahweh has the answer. Behold, he cometh with the clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, hallelujah. Revelation 1:7. For the facts herein revealed is that everyone does know when he is coming before this event takes place. Thus it shows that Yahweh is the only one who can make it known when the Yahshua is actually coming in the clouds of heaven, for it is his secret. Now I'm going to make a correction here on Brother Johnson's writing, because I know it's wrong. I'm going to read that last statement again. The facts herein revealed is that everyone does know. No, everyone will not know, and so that's where Brother Johnson made a typo. He left out the word not, N-O-T. Does not know when he is coming, because before this event takes place. Thus it shows that Yahweh is the only one who can make it known when Yahshua is actually coming. So I corrected the typo. I put the word not in there. Alright. So the question now is, how does he make this known? For the answer is found in the Amos 3:7. Surely the Yahweh Elohim will do nothing, but he revealeth his secret unto his servants the prophets. Thus we see that Yahweh makes the time known by his prophets. For man cannot predict the future, neither can he understand it without the inspiration. Many shall be purified and made white and tried. All right, I'm going to go back up and reread that previous paragraph again. Last sentence. I think I need to make a correction here. Thus we see that Yahweh makes the time known by his prophet, for man cannot predict the future. Okay, he left out another word. For the natural man, without inspiration, that cannot predict the future, neither can he understand it without the inspiration. So he did put the word inspiration in there, but he should have said, but the natural man or the carnal fleshly man. See, carnal fleshly. Okay, let's continue. Many shall be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. So when we had our clothes down there at Kermit, Texas, there was a showdown between the wise and the unwise. We had a mix there, the sheep are the wise, the goats are the unwise. We had both groups in the congregation, both flocks. So there was a showdown between the head goat and the head ram. I represented the ram, Brother Johnson represented the goat. And you know what happens with the ram and the goat? The ram will bust his britches every time. But the wise shall understand. Daniel 12:10. Thus the righteous wise are separated from the wicked, because the righteous understand and follow inspiration, but the wicked cannot understand it. Therefore the wicked are destroyed, while the righteous receive eternal life by being obedient. But as of the Son of Man, okay, but as the days of the Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Matthew 24:37. Notice the key words as and so. These words show that the days of the Noah are a type of or a parallel with a similar situation. Further from his time and from Matthew's time. Thus, the question, when and what will it be? For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Matthew 24:38-39. I believe that any person who has eyes and can see and ears and can hear would agree that the condition of the people on this earth today is fast approaching the same condition that the people in the Noah's day had obtained unto, which shows that we are nearly a world, we are nearing of a world catastrophe. It will happen because it has been prophesied of and prophecy is a sure word. See 2 Peter 1:19. Besides, the words as and so call for it. This is E.G. White wrote that Matthew 25:1-13 applies first to the Seventh-day Adventist Church. Okay, since Brother Johnson was the prophet of the seventh candlestick that represented the sanctuary system of the Seventh-day Adventist Church, then that makes sense. After which it applies unto all rejectors of the new truth. In this parable, we have lamps, vessels of the oil, fire, and people to deal with. And so we will turn unto the inspiration to find the significant meaning of each. As Usher sat looking upon the party that waited for the bridegroom, he told his disciples the story of the ten virgins. By their experience illustrating the experience of the church that shall live just before his second coming. Yeshua's object lesson, page 406. 2. For the thy righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and thy law is the truth. Psalms 119:142. Thus we see that the law is with the truth. So it says, actually, Brother John says, thus you see the law is the truth. Yes, the law is the truth, but the law is not all of the truth. That's the reason why you have to put the preposition with in there. The law is with the truth. Now, if the law was all of the truth, then you could say that the whole law, and you have to say the whole law is, represents all of the truth. But the law only represents the legal part of the truth. Thou art near, O Yahweh, and all thy commandments and truth are with the truth. Psalms 119:151. And we praise Yahweh that all his commandments are in the truth. So you have the preposition in the truth, see? He just said commandments are truth. That don't tell me nothing. Truth covers everything that's true, whether it's religious or non-religious. But when you say commandments are in the truth, well, then you have something else. For the word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Psalms 119:105. For the plain facts herein revealed are that the word Yahweh is a lamp for the guiding of our feet and a light for the making plain of our path. Well, this brings it to us, says this, our contact just at the 11th hour call, and that's number 11. Click on our audio archive. So hear this message and more. We're going to continue this subject on another on our second tape. I am bound for the promised land.
King of my heart, I crown thee now. Thine shall the glory be. Lest I forget thy thorn-crowned brow, lead me to Calvary. Lest I forget Gethsemane, lest I forget thine agony, lest I forget thy love for me. Lead me to Calvary. Show me the tomb where thou wast laid, tenderly hard and red. Angels in robes of light arrayed guarded thee while thou slept. Lest I forget Gethsemane, lest I forget thine agony, lest I forget thy love for me. Lead me to Calvary. Let me like Mary through the gloom come with a gift to thee. Show to me now the empty tomb, lead me to Calvary. Lest I forget Gethsemane, lest I forget thine hand.
beggar me. Lest thou forget thy love for me, lead me to Calvary. May I be ready, your to bear daily my cross for thee. Even thy cup of grief to share, thou hast borne all for me. Lest I forget Gethsemane, lest I forget thine agony, lest I forget thy love for me, lead me to Calvary.